Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening to each and everyone. Happy Thursday. Thank God for Thursday. Thank God for another day. Thank God for victory in Jesus. Thank God that He will always make a way for our escape when it comes down to our temptation. The Bible said He is faithful who promised. God would not allow us to be tempted above what we are able to bear, but God is faithful with the temptation. He will make a way for our escape. I just thank and praise the Lord again for this day, because truly this is the day that the Lord has made, and I choose to rejoice and be glad in it. I thank and praise the Lord for this hour. I thank and praise the Lord for the host, Apostle Armstrong. I continue to pray and lift him up. Let's keep Apostle Armstrong lifted up and cover him with the blood of Jesus and the protection with God's word, that he will finish his work, that God will grace him with the strength, with the wisdom to finish his work, really to complete his assignment. And I just thank God for this opportunity. And we've been talking, I tell you, God been giving us a message about, we've been talking about, we started out with the out of God, walking and asking God to restore the fear of the Lord, how so many had lost. And then God brought us into Hebrews, the second chapter, about paying earnest heed to what we hear. And he was talking about the message about Jesus Christ. We need to really pay attention to, if you're in a good church that teaching the unadulterated word of God, you need to really pay attention to the message that God is giving. God allowing to come across the podium, you need to go in there with expectation, go in there really to hear and expect God to speak to you through his man or woman of God to your spirit, into your life. And I tell you, God is speaking. I learned that a lot of times we say God ain't saying nothing, he's speaking. But the thing is, are you really listening? Are you really hearing what he is saying? Because God is always speaking. And the Bible said, to them that want to know his will, to them it'll be revealed. So I just thank and praise the Lord for what the Lord is doing in our life. We were with Apostle McIntyre and Bishop Kay here on Tuesday, and I tell you, he gave an awesome word about the spirit of Bonzilla. We're talking about how the enemy, as we age, how the enemy attack people as they age. Y'all, it was an awesome word. I tell you, it was an awesome word. And I tell you, it really ministered to me, because, you know, I'm 68 years younger now. And I tell you, it go for me too. And I'm finding out, you know, people used to, and I hear this even in my in my late 40s, I used to hear people would tell me, you know, now you getting old and you ain't going to be able to do what you used to do. Honey, them bones going to start getting stiff, and honey, arthritis going to pay you a visit. I hear all of that stuff, you know. But then when I came into the kingdom of God and I began to get in the word of God, it really changed my whole, you know, my life, because the word of God began to come alive to me. And as I couldn't continue to read and study the word let me know and let me see there were certain things that God had promised to me. And because of Jesus coming, death, burial, and resurrection, it showed me how I could experience, and the Bible could come alive to me, or better yet, the reality of the words. You know, reading the Bible like the word was jumping up off the page and hitting me. But there too, again, that's why I came to the conclusion one day with the help of the Holy Spirit. The Bible is a manual for my life and for your life. You know, you hear a lot of things about the Bible, but let me tell you something. Once you get born again and you really begin to seek out God's word and read his word, and when that word comes a reality to you, what people say won't change it. But if you was to go in 2 Samuel, the 19th chapter, if you read it in its entirety, you'll find out when he start talking about Bonzilla. He started talking about that this man had came and he was saying he was too old to move. But if you just go and study it, I'm not going to really get into a lot of it, but it really ministered to me. It really ministered to me in healing school. As I stated, Apostle McIntyre have healing school on the first and third Tuesday of the month. And I tell you, God have really blessed her with knowledge and understanding about divine health, divine healing, and how we can walk in Isaiah 53 and 5, where Jesus took our infirmity and bore our sickness, and by his stripes we're healed. Thank God that from time to time, Bishop Kay here, Pastor Steve, she allowed other ministers to minister on it, on healing, because as born-again believers, we need to know through Jesus coming, death, and burial, and resurrection, we didn't only just receive eternal life. But as John said in John 10:10, Jesus came to give us abundant life. And a lot of times before we get saved, well, for me, before I got saved, I was broke and disgusted. Now, it's bad when you're broke and disgusted, but I was broke, disgusted, didn't have no peace. But when the Lord Jesus came in my life, I began to experience the abundant life, because the Holy Spirit began to walk me through. And thanks be to God, he's still walking me through. The Holy Spirit is still teaching me and revealing to me how to experience or see those promises in the Bible be fulfilled in my life, my family, and whoever I come in contact with. But anyway, like I said, healing school was great. I truly enjoyed it. And you ought to, if you're ever in Lancaster, you know, you ought to go. It's on Brooklyn. It's in Brooklyn. On Brooklyn Avenue, you need to go check out healing school with Apostle Brenda McIntyre. And I promise you, whatever the enemy is trying to attack your body with, the word of God, the word that being taught in that healing school, I promise you it would teach you how to resist and fight against it. Okay, we're gonna continue. In my notes, I said we're gonna start up. I was in Ephesians, the 4th chapter, in that 17th verse. I started with that. And we was talking about renewing your mind. And y'all, this is so important when it comes down to experiencing the abundant life. It is so important. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you now for this day. We give you praise. We give you honor and glory for it. I thank you right now for those that tune in. I thank you, Father, for bringing enlightenment, understanding, and revelation to your word today. I thank you for the Holy Spirit that's going to be quickened, going to bring the accuracy to your people. I thank you for the yoke, discord, burden-removing anointing that is being released over the airways to those that have tuned in. In Jesus' name, amen. But there, too, again, we started that 17th verse in Ephesians 4. And then, I hope you took time to go back and read the word. And in that 20th verse, Ephesians 4:20, it said, "But ye have not so learned Christ." Then I'm going to drop down to the 23rd verse, and it's saying, "Be renewed in the spirit of your mind." As long as you and I, as a born-again believer on this earth, we're going to have to continue to renew our mind daily. And especially whenever you anytime you in a battle, you need to really find out what the words say about it, meditate on it, decree it, and stand on that word. I found that to be a true saying. Okay, he said, "Be renewed in the spirit of your mind." And then we camped out at that 27th verse. neither give place to the devil. One translation said, don't even give him an opportunity. But I found out every trial and tribulation is an opportunity for God to show himself strong in. And there too again, but we can give opportunity, give place to the enemy when we start saying what we see that is contrary to what God's word says. But we're going, as I said, we're going to continue with this. If you have your Bibles in my notes, I wrote this down, and I spoke a little bit on this on Monday, but I'm going to continue it with wherever the mind is, the body will follow. The value of renewing your mind. Remember that wherever the mind is, your body will follow. That's why I used to hear people would talk about this, a mind is a turbo thing to waste. But I found out everything began with your thoughts. Everything began with the thought. Joyce Meyer had a best-selling book about the battle of the mind. And I don't know about you, I find out sometimes my mind be under attack or be being attacked by mind-binding thoughts. What is mind-binding thoughts? Well, mind-binding thoughts is a bunch of doubt and unbelief. And it just constantly running and putting pressure. That really, that's attack of the enemy. Because the enemy going to always attack our mind. If he can get attack our mind, if he can get us the lower our will, get weaken our will and begin to speak all things that contribute to what God said, well, guess what? He can dominate you in your situation. Okay? So let's go. Where we going to go today? Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, let's go to St. Mark, the fourth chapter. If you have it, let's go to St. Mark, the fourth chapter. Hallelujah. St. Mark, the fourth chapter. And I want you to look at the 23rd verse and the 24th verse. And as I stated again, my goal and what God has assigned me to do is to reveal his word to his people and teach them how to apply the word to their life in order to reap the benefits from it. The word of God is always conditioned. The Bible and faith is corresponding to action. I found out a lot of time people can quote this word or remember this word and say this word, but it's corresponding action after it. That's why the Bible says faith without works is dead. Now, we ain't talking about saving faith. Saving faith, I just believe on the name of the Lord Jesus and trust what he said, and then I be saved. But when it come down to seeing the promise of God being manifest in your life and applied to your circumstance, you have to respond. Remember when Jesus told them disciples to cast the net out on the other side and they had been fishing all night? Now, they took his word, they believed on, and they act on the word of it. They act on the word of Jesus. And y'all, so it is, everything that we receive from God, we have to do it by faith. And faith don't have nothing to do with your feelings. And I find out a lot of times, people put their faith is based upon what they see and what they feel. No. Now, faith is based upon what I see, but it's what I see in the word of God, what the word of God says. In the word of God can change my circumstances. Paul said on one occasion, he said, we believe, so we speak. So faith has something to do with what I say because as a born-again believers, my word have power. That's why it tells us, even in the psalmist, it said, you are snared by the words that come out of your mouth. The Bible even said a fool is considered wise when he keeps his mouth shut. The Bible, one of the psalmists said, set a watch over my mouth and keep the doors of my lips. Now, when the reality come to you about my words have power, and I can change my circumstance about what's coming out of my mouth and my action, listen, I promise you, you'll change. You won't be one to be so quick to speak negative. you know, you won't do it. But anyway, in St. Mark, the 4th chapter, if you have it, we're going to read that 23rd verse. Look at the 23rd verse. He said, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Let him hear. Hear what? Now listen, all of us know what we hear can change how we feel, change what we do, change what we say. Now that just looking, and I'm telling you, that happens. Now he said, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Now I'm gonna go in the Amplify and read that because we're gonna continue with that. A lot of times I have my notes and I tell you, when you're being led by the Holy Spirit, sometimes the Holy Spirit, he'll come in here and he'll just change everything. But guess what? He do that based on the audience, those that is open to hear. And that's what I love about the Lord. The Lord loves everybody. But anyway, Mark the 4th chapter, I'm going to read it from the Amplified, Mark 4 and 23. Mark 4 and 23. Mark 4 and 23. It said, if any man have ears to hear, let him be listening and perceiving and comprehending. You hear that? New International, it says, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. 24 verse, consider carefully what you hear. Now, God told Joshua to meditate on what he knows. According to the law of Moses, he told him to meditate on it. And he told him, I want you to be strong and very courageous. And Joshua had to meditate on what God told him because he was taking over the leadership when it came down to the children of Israel. And God was letting him know from the beginning, I'm going to be with you. Well, better yet, I tell you what, let's just go to Joshua. Let's go to Joshua, the 1st chapter. And as I say so many times, put your eyes on it. Just don't accept what people say about the word. And I thank God for Brother Kenneth Copeland. I consider him one of my mentors because he helped me out a lot because I need help. I don't know about you all. I'm going to Joshua, the 1st chapter. When God began to speak to Joshua, and I'm going to just go on to read it from the Amplified Bible, that 5th verse, he said, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I am with Moses, so I am with you. I would not fail you or forsake you. Be strong, confident, and of good courage, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land which I sworn to their fathers to give them. Only you be strong and very courageous. Well, how you be strong? It's through your union. Ephesians the 6th chapter, to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. One translation is to be in your union, your relationship. Well, how do you get a relationship with the Lord, Prophet? Through his word, through reading his word, through meditating on his word, through being a doer. See, the Bible says if you're willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Some is willing but not obedient. See, after you're willing to hear this word, then you have to obey this word by doing it. Okay? But he said, only you be strong and very courageous that you may do according to all the law. And listen, y'all, it takes courage and boldness to obey God, especially when God telling you to step out into the unknown, when God telling you to do right by people that done made up in their mind that they're going to do wrong by you. It takes some courage. It takes faith. It takes courage. Yes. Especially if God telling you to do something you never did before. Amen. But anyway, he said, only be strong and very courageous that you may do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. Listen, what you meditate or what you thinking on going to change the course of your life. It's going to control your tongue, or better yet, it's going to cause it to come out of your mouth. The Bible said the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. How things get in our heart is based on we meditate on it. We ponder it over and over in our mind. We thinking about it. You know, I found out in order to walk in forgiveness according to what the scriptures say, I cannot keep discussing that thing in my thoughts. You know, a lot of times people say, I ain't saying this. You might not be saying nothing verbal, but in your subconscious, you're going over and over in that with your mind. You thinking about what they did. You thinking about what they said. You thinking about how they said it, when they said it, how many times they said it. And that right there, sooner or later, you're going to, like a pressure cooker, the button going to be pushing, you're going to let out the steam. You're going to begin to say it. Oh, come on, somebody. Okay. He said that we may do according to all this law, which most of my servants command you. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. And I could add, the word of God shall not depart out of your mouth. But you shall meditate on it day and night that you may observe and do according to all that is written in it. For then, once you done meditate on it day and night, and then you observe to do it, do what is written. He said, then you should, that you may observe to do according. You ain't going to be able to do what the word of God say do if you ain't meditating and thinking on and know what the word of God said about your situation. A lot of people get rightly divided. I'm not against the news, but I tell people all the time, you need to know what to do with the news, what you hear. Because the news can be so negative. And sometimes, I wonder sometimes if what they're saying is true. Come on, somebody. I have had some people got more faith in what the news saying they got what God say. And that's where you have to get your mind renewed. Are you following what I'm saying? I'm telling you, this is so important. But he's telling him how to be successful with the people. He's observed to do all according to what is written in them. For then shall you make your way prosper, and then shall you shall deal wise and have good success. Have not I command you to be strong and very courageous. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now, these was the instruction that the Lord gave Joshua. Now, and when we come in to Mark, the 4th chapter, the 24th verse, the words of Jesus. Now, if you start in the beginning of Mark, the 4th chapter, I'm not going to get into it, and you read the first 20 verses, it's telling you about how the sower planted the seed, which is the word of God. I found out, even right now, the words coming out of my mouth, they are seeds. Come on. See, in the kingdom of God, everything begins with a seed and it ends with a seed. Our words is a seed. And you're going to reap a harvest from them words too. But like I said, in Mark, the 4th chapter, in that 23rd and 24th verse, that's what I read, the 23rd and the 24th verse. In the Amplified, the 24th verse say, and he said to them, be careful what you are hearing. The measure of the thought and study you give to the truth you hear. And there too again. See, if we take the word of God and we meditate on the word of God, we study the word of God, and if we observe, and if we do what the word of God say do, we going to reap a harvest. Yeah, the enemy going to fight against you, but you going to reap a harvest. You have to get dogmatic with the enemy. You have to get dogmatic with your circumstances that's going contrary to what God says. You have to get dogmatic with your thoughts. You have to cast down them thoughts and imagination that is going theyself above what God's words. You have to open your mouth. It's amazing in the beginning. God did not line up with the dawn and the earth being without form. He spoke what he wants. Well, right there, he let us know we have to speak what we want. Mark 11 and 23 tell us to have the God kind of faith. He tells us what things soever we desire when we pray. We supposed to pray the solution, not the problem. I had to learn that. And a lot of people is praying the problem. You not praying the solution. He said, whatsoever thing you desire when you pray. He didn't say, what you desire. He just said, what you have it. And a lot of times people pray the problem instead of pray the solution. Prayer is praying the solution. Don't have me going to Mark 23, y'all. But anyway, he said, the measure of thought instead you give to the truth you hear would be the measure of the virtue and knowledge that come back to you. Listen, and more beside would be given to you who hear. How much attention is you giving the word that being preached across the pulpit at your church? Your man, your sent man or woman sent. Now, some people say, honey, well, my pastor, they don't preach that. They ain't preaching that. Well, guess what? Do you not read your Bible? Even if they ain't preaching word, which they ought to be preaching on the Dutch word, but guess what? Do you not read your own Bible? That's your responsibility. You know, sometimes we want to put the responsibility on somebody. God will have us to read our Bible. I had to learn, read your word. Find out what I say, Ann. I went through a situation 30-some years ago, and people were going around lying on the center. God told me, he said, I want you to find out what I say about your situation. Get in my word, read my word, and whenever they want to say something to you, when you respond, you tell them what's written. He said, now, for the most of it, a lot of people ain't going to argue with you about the word, for the most of it. Now, some will, but for the most of it, people ain't going to argue. Tell them what the word say. Tell them where to go find it. And that'll shut them down. And I found that to be true. Amen? But like we still talking about it, and in the New American Standard, it said, he said unto them, take care what you listen to. By your standards of measure, it shall be measured to you, and more shall be given beside. The New International. It said, consider carefully what you hear. He continued, with the measure you use, it will be measured to you even more. See, the law of reciprocity, the Bible said, whatever you sow, you reap. Y'all, that is a law, a spiritual law. And that work in the negative, it work in the positive. That's why in the book of Galatians, Paul said, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. And he was saying, he said, if you sow to your flesh, you're going to reap corruption. You cannot sit around all day and watch the TV, listen to, and I'm going to be honest with you, it's good to listen to other ministers, the preacher, please hear me, but it comes a time you need to sit and read your Bible. It comes a time, that's why I try to give you, go back and read them. Holy Spirit, open up the eyes of my understanding. He'll open up the eyes of your understanding so you can, and he will bring forth revelation. He'll make the things of what Jesus said real to you. But there too, again, you have your part to play. Amen, somebody? You have your part to play. Okay, we're going to go to another scripture. I want to go to John 5 and 6. I want to show you something in John 5 and 6. And like I said, faith is corresponding action. John 5 and 6. And I just want to use this because John 5 and 6, we're talking about a man that had infirmity for 38 years. This man had this infirmity for 38 years. And according to the scripture, it talked about an angel would come down. The fourth verse tells us how an angel would come down and would trouble the water. An angel would come down and trouble the water. In the fourth verse, it said, for an angel went down at a certain season to the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in would be made whole of whatever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had infirmed for 38 years. He was at the right place and meant for what I gather, he was there at the right time. But this man did make no effort whatsoever to get in this pool when the water had been troubled. And Jesus, in one translation, it said in the sixth verse, it said, when Jesus saw him lying, he knew that he had now a long time in that case. He said unto him, will thou be made whole? Jesus asked this man a question. In one translation, I like what one translation say. I like what one translation say, asked, what, do you really want to be healed? Come on, somebody. That's what one, what it said in the Amplified. Let me read the Amplified. In the Amplified, it's 6 verse, John 5:6. It said, when Jesus noticed him lying there helpless, knowing that he had already been a long time in that condition, he said to him, do you want to become well? Are you really in earnest about getting well? Well, Prophet Miller, what that got to do with us? Let me tell you what it got to do with us. Do you really, truly want to walk in the things of God? Do you truly, really want what God say about you? And y'all, we're living in a time when a lot of people is walking around, and I wrote it in my notes. I wrote it in my notes early today. I wrote it in my notes early today. Many people are not able to be encountered and walk in the love of God because they have been wounded and bound in their soul. A lot of people is walking around with a wounded soul from past hurt, from childhood drama, from whatever. They walking around and their soul is wounded. Well, now David said on one occasion, he restores my soul. I found out that things in life can cause you to experience deep hurt, deep wounds. And some people, they be so hurt and wounded. Sometimes we have had people commit suicide because of that. People get on drugs and alcohol to try to drown out the pain, the hurt. Come on, somebody. And you know, a lot of time I hear people talk about now, you know, his church hurt. The church hurted me. This is, you know what I found out personally? Some things I experienced from the church, I found out what it did. It pushed me in the face of God. It when I began to read and own myself up and cry to the Lord showed me the number one thing a lot of us don't like to hear. Forgive even as you've been forgiven. But anyway, and like I said, many people are not able to encounter the Lord love because they have wounded and they've been bound by hurt in their soul. Inner healing go to the root cause of many symptoms. All healing require being open to God and to the way he chooses to move in the healing process. Most of our life problems are due to some damage, dialogue, adverse action that occurred in the past. And that's the truth. A lot of people walk around here with a wounded spirit and they need inner healing. Amen. They need inner healing. Like this man. For 38 years, this man lived with an infirmity. But guess what? Every year when the angel came and troubled the water, he could have been healed. Could this man, when Jesus asked him the question, the man said to Jesus, he said, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me in the pool. Could this man, was he responding to Jesus with self-pity? Oh me, poor me. I learned a long time ago, oh me, poor me, don't deliver you. Oh me, poor me, don't solve your problem. If anything, self-pity make it worse. A lot of times some people, they consider themselves the victim. And long as you consider yourself the victim, you is not going to walk in forgiveness. Come on, somebody. Oh, this good word. I didn't know I was going to go there today, but I'm talking good. And like I said, when Jesus asked the man by being whole, the man, he didn't will to. When it come down to reaping the solution of what God said about, you got to be willing. As an act of your will, you got to will. I found out the strongest thing about all of us is our will. And God ain't going to violate or override our will. Some people been dealing with past hurt, past wound for years. It's still there. And you know, it's time to get rid of it. Do you not know? The Bible says if you don't forgive those that trespass against you, neither will God forgive you. That's why we need to be, y'all, we need to really take heed for what we hear. If the word of God being preached to you in its spirit, you ought to take heed to it. And if it ain't being preached to you, if you read the word, you know, sometimes we want to blame us. It's the pastor. My pastor ain't teaching the right word. Well, read the Bible for yourself. Read it and ask the Holy Ghost to give you clear, to give you understanding and revelation of it, if that's the case. The Bible tells us, now God done gave us, I think Peter said, because God done gave us everything pertaining to life and godliness. But guess what? It's through the knowledge. It's through faith and through the knowledge of Jesus. What about Jesus? What he came to do? What he accomplished while he was on earth? How it benefits you? And see, even with this man, Jesus know why. The man said he didn't have nobody. He didn't have nobody to put him in the pool. Come on, somebody. And like I said, Jesus asked him in one, an amplified, is you serious about it? Do you really want to be? And then they tell us in the eighth verse, Jesus didn't have a pit on the man. He said, Jesus said, get up, pick up your bed, your sleeping pad, and walk. Now, got to get a man credit. After Jesus told him to take it up, he acted upon what Jesus said by faith. Come on now. Are y'all seeing what I'm seeing? That's what I see in my Bible. He acted upon what Jesus said. Now, I'm sure the feeling came. I'm sure he started feeling good. But my point is this here. When it come down to faith, faith ain't got nothing to do with my feeling. Now, sometimes my emotions are changed. But sometimes in the midst of me acting upon and speaking the word of God, my emotions stay the same. But I can't allow my emotion to dictate to me or cause me to believe God's word is true if I feel, if the feeling change, if my circumstances change. No, no, no. First and all, God told me the first of this year, my time of consecration. He said, and I want you to continue to make the word of God a final authority in your life. I want you to consecrate yourself more. I want you to study more. I want you to fast more. Now, that's what God told me. I don't know what he told nobody else. Yeah, and he told me to discipline myself more. You see, in order for us to maintain the things of God in our life, y'all, we can't just be a reader and not just a hearer, but we got to do it. Amen, somebody? Let me read my own. Let me see. When Jesus asked the man, will you be made whole, all we receive from God began with, everything we receive from God begins with our will. Will we cooperate with God's word? Will we cooperate with the Holy Ghost? Will we obey his instruction and his direction? And so many people want to be delivered from certain problems and certain, but they do not want of an act of their will to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus asked the man, did he really want to be healed? Do we really want to be whole? And then Jesus gave the man something to do. He said, now take up your bed and walk. That man showed, when he picked up his bed and walked. But guess what? He could have been delivered. But it's like he was waiting on somebody to put him in the pool. I wonder, did he ask anybody to put him in the pool? You see, when we really want something to change, y'all, we do drastic things. When we really want something to be done, we'll do what it takes. Come on, somebody. Now, like Naaman said, the woman said to Naaman, if the prophet would have asked you to do something hard, you would have did it. I found out the things of God is very simple. We make it complicated. Because a lot of times, I even found out in prayer, my responsibility is to pray for my life and my problem according to what the word says. It's on God when and how he solved it. That ain't on me. That's why the Bible said, commit thy ways unto the Lord. Also trust in him. Lean not to thy own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways. He shall direct your paths. But I used to try to figure out how God was going to do it, when God was going to, and it left me confused. That wasn't faith. Faith is taking God at his word. Amen. And I run into, you know, even talking, did God begin to take me into about forgiveness? Let's go to 1 Peter. And y'all, I'm telling you, whether you want to believe or not, we have an adversary. You probably hear me talk about it. Now, Paul told us neither give place to the devil. Let's go see what 1 Peter 5, 6, 7, and 8. 1 Peter, the 5th chapter. I pray the word being a blessing to you. Because I'm serious. We're in an hour, in a time. You're going to be hurt some more. You're going to be rejected some more. You're going to be resented some more. Come on. You're going to be lied on some more. But let me tell you something. If you don't learn how to operate and walk in forgiveness, it's going to hinder your prayers. It's going to hinder you from growing. It's going to hinder the revelation, the knowledge, the understanding of God. It's going to hinder that in your life. But you don't know what they did. Listen. I don't know. I just know what the word say about how to respond or what to do when you're being hurt. And see, I don't know about you. Before I got saved, I would train. If people come to me and ask me to forgive them, that's when I forgive them. That's where I would train in the world. I came in the kingdom, and the Holy Spirit said, you got to forgive them first, even as God, for my sake, forgave you. That's what it said in Ephesians 4. We have to forgive first. And forgiveness is an act of obedience. Really, do you not know God commanded us to forgive based upon the finished, better yet, based upon how God forgave us for Christ's sake? Christ took on everybody's sin. He took it on. He carried it. Not only that, he came on this earth, stripped himself of his authority, came on this earth, walked in it, walked through all pain, false accusation, betrayal. He experienced all of that. So that's why the Bible said we have a high priest who was tempted in the same point that we are, but he never yielded to sin. Well, but that was Jesus. No. I agree with you. That was Jesus. But you got to realize you have access, especially if you're a born-again believer, the same power, the ability that enabled Jesus to forgive. It's on the inside of all of us. The only thing that stands between me and my deliverance and my promise is my will, not so much Satan. Once you come into the knowledge who you are in Christ, what Christ did, that's why the Bible said grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge. Come on, somebody. Oh, that's a good word. And that's in 2 Peter. He said grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power have given unto us all things pertain to life and godliness. How? Through the knowledge of him. And see, there too again, that's why renewing your mind and keeping it renewed is so important. Come on. Are you still listening? It is so important. A renewing of the mind is restructuring of our soul. My soul consists of my mind, my will, and my emotion. And wherever your mind goes, your body going to follow. You don't sit around and meditate on what's been done to you, how it was done. Because if you meditate on, sooner or later, you're going to open your mouth and you're going to regurgitate what happened. The Bible tells us don't be like a dog. A dog will vomit and he'll go right back. And eat up and lick up his vomit. We're not supposed to be that way. And I'm telling you, when it comes down to the word, amen? I mess around. We got in forgiveness, I'm telling you. And that's why I say a lot of people, they willing to forgive. They'll do that by faith. But second, you got to walk in this forgiveness. Come on, somebody. When you see that person, what's coming up? But now if you've been meditating on what, when, and how they did, how many, that's going to keep coming up. That right there, you got that seed in there. But you got to be able to uproot that seed. Oh, man, oh, man. And I'm telling you, a lot of people walk around. I was talking to someone today, and they were dealing with unforgiveness. I said, you got to forgive. Forgiveness is so powerful. If you don't do it, you hold yourself in bondage. Some people say, I don't believe that. Okay, you ain't got to believe it. I found out a long time ago, I'm not responsible for what you do with this word that I teach and minister to you. That's on you and God. Ain't got nothing to do with Prophet W.A. Okay, in 1 Peter, I told you to go, let's go to 1 Peter. And y'all listen, the devil is a mean old mean devil, but let me tell you something. The devil is under our feet. God then gave us authority. Today, in my devotion this morning, and the Lord blessed me with this. He quickened some in my spirit. And the Lord was talking to me about fear. And the Lord let me know. He said, now, I gave you authority over every creeping, crawling thing, over moles, rats, snakes, four-legged beasts. He said, Ed, I gave you the authority. He said, but you don't allow fear to get in. And when fear come in, it'll dominate you. When fear come in, what God then gave us dominion over, it'll dominate us. Now, I don't know about you. I can't stand a mouse. I can't stand a cat. Now, come on. I like dogs. But, I mean, I don't care too much for a cat hanging around me or nothing like that. I don't like snakes. And a mouse got in my garage, and I'm telling you, I was afraid. And I put some stuff out, and that little sticky stuff, and it got kind of, and I didn't have nobody to pick it up and put in the trash. And the Lord said, and you got to get rid of the dead rat in the garage, in the little storeroom room. I have a storeroom room in my garage. He said, you got to get rid of it, Ann. But I was fearful. I said, I can't stand them little beady, beady. And he brought it back. He said, but I gave you authority over it. He said, just like I gave Adam authority. You in Christ Jesus, who is a new creator. He said, you have authority. See, faith come by hearing, but we release our authority with our words. Come on, somebody. That's why Jesus said you can speak to the mountains. You can speak to your circumstances. If your circumstance is not lining up with the word, you as a born-again believer, you can speak to it. He said, Matthew, whatever you bind, whatever you forbid on this earth, whatever you call unlawful, is already bind and forbid in heaven. See, we have that kind of dominion. We have that kind of authority. But what the enemy does, he knows faith working by love. So if he can get unforgiveness, bitterness, and resentment in your heart, he can intercept and affect and keep your prayers from being answered. That's why in Peter, I think it's in Peter, in 1 Peter, I believe, in either 2 Peter, it tells you, if a husband supposed to live with his wife according to knowledge. But if he don't treat his wife and honor his wife like the Bible say, that husband can hinder his prayer. See, the enemy don't want you to know that. He don't want you to read it. And even after you read, he want to give you all that. Yeah, but the Lord don't know what kind of wife I got. I mean, God is not naive. I had to learn. Everything in this Bible is talking to Prophet W.A. It's talking to you too. But the thing about it is we're going to yield our will and be willing not only to hear God's word, but be willing as an act of our will to do what God's word says. See, the Bible tells us, I think it's in Titus, he tells us that God is not a liar. The Bible said, number, God is not a man that he will lie, nor the son of man that he shall repent. Have not God spoken, God won't bring it to pass. Y'all, God don't lie. Now, a lot of times, because we don't understand, when people don't understand, in case they say God, they'll say God lied. No, he did. No, he did. Even when I had to learn it, when you praying for people, somebody can be a people call they sick bed or death bed. You don't know what them people saying to God. And then we have to be led by the Holy Spirit. Oh, man, this is good. I'm just not getting in 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, and it's 6:51. I got 4 more minutes. I want to show you. Well, let's go down. We're going to drop down to that 6th verse. And tell the cash and all your, humble yourself therefore under the mighty hands of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Now, a lot of times people say, God will humble you. No, God won't. What will humble all of us is trouble. Trouble got a way. They'll humble you. You can thank you, Mr. Smarty Smarty or Mrs. Smarty Smarty, but let trouble come through. It'll humble you. It'll cause you to look up. Come on, somebody. But he's telling us, and I'm reading it from the Amplified. He said, therefore, humble yourself, demote, lower yourself in your own estimation under the mighty hands of God, that in due time he may exhort you, casting the whole of your care on all your anxiety, all your worry, all your concern once and for all on him, for he cares for you effectively and care about you watchfully. Be well-balanced, temperate, sober-minded, be vigilant, and cautious at all times, for the enemy of yours, the devil, roar around like a lion roaring, and furious and hungry, seeking someone to seize upon, size upon, and devour. I learned this, that we can be influenced by the Spirit of God and influenced by Satan. The enemy can jump in anytime if we unaware of it, if we don't know some of his strategy. That's why Paul said God would not have us ignorant of Satan's device. And when he made that statement, he would talk about forgiveness. And y'all, I'm telling you, it's sad, but when it comes down to forgiveness, a lot of saints are ignorant. We got a lot of saints that say, yeah, but. I learned when I speak something, if I put but in that sentence, but counts out everything I said in the beginning. Forgiveness is a command. And the enemy don't went to extreme measure that bring offenses in our life. Some people, they easy to get offended. They wear their feelings on their sleeves. And the enemy doing that because he trying to intercept and hinder your faith from being affected. Faith working by love. If we don't operate in love, our faith is not going to be affected. Come on. Love is just like forgiveness is a commandment. Love is a command. God commands us to love. Now, love don't mean you being a doormat for nobody to walk over you or just do you any kind of way. But love is saying, I forgive you. And I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to do right by you. I'm going to overcome evil with good. I'm not going to go around and bash you and talk about you like you do me. But I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to forgive you. And I'm going to let God handle the rest. And then when you start praying for somebody, because sometimes people don't know they're being influenced by the enemy. They don't know that. Peter didn't know he was being influenced by the devil when he got the revelation that Christ was Jesus was the Christ. He did not know the enemy was influencing him when Jesus started telling what was going to happen to him in a few days. He didn't realize it was the enemy. But when Jesus turned, he said, Satan, get behind me. But it was Peter yielding to the enemy to speak out contrary or against what Jesus was saying. Gotta stop. Gotta stop. Y'all don't stop. I don't know if we're going to pick up here on Monday if the Lord will or not. But listen, getting God's word pertaining to what you're dealing with. Get your mind renewed. Stay away. As Paul said, he says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that is edifying to the hearer. Y'all, all of us have opportunity to talk about people and be, don't do it because you're going to reap what you sow. When the reality of the written word of God come alive to you and you really believe that this is true and God gonna watch over this word, you'll change the way you talk. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your word today. I give you praise. And Father, those that the enemy is constantly tormenting with them with unforgiveness, I pray, Father, as an act of their will, that they would take a faith and forgive, not so much because they want to, but because they love you, and because they love you, they desire to please you, so they will forgive, and you will grant them the grace that they need. I bind the enemy that will come to try to interfere, steal this word. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, this was Apostle Willie Ann Miller. Pray and trust you enjoy the rest of your evening.